This morning, the account of Joseph's shock when he recognized that Mary was pregnant, for he had not yet been a husband to her in a physical sense. We're going to read what took place just a few months before that. Apparently, Mary must not have communicated that to Joseph in her innocency and her, I don't know if she would have thought that she would have believed him, but apparently she must have kept this secret. Because we go back a few months now and we turn to Luke chapter 1 and read the account of Mary discovering this for the first time. Luke chapter 1, commencing at verse 26. Apparently, Mary became pregnant with the Lord Jesus by the Holy Spirit in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, where Elizabeth, her cousin, was going to bear John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. Right about that time is when Mary became expectant with the Lord Jesus. Verse 26, in the sixth month, that is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel, you know, the two angels, or three angels actually named, Gabriel and Michael were angels that did not sin, and Lucifer is the devil, or Satan, who fell with a third of the angels. Here's Gabriel sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Joseph and Mary were living in Nazareth. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. He shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing, or that holy one, that shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also hath conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And now it says that Mary arose and visited Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth spoke, she said, Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. So Mary was obviously at that point that we just read, impregnated with Emmanuel, because Elizabeth mentions that her womb is blessed, the fruit is there. So the conception has taken place. And Mary stays just about 3 months. So Mary's first 3 months with Jesus in her womb was in Elizabeth's home. So you can understand, she then returns. That's when Joseph discovers, most likely, that she is pregnant. So for 3 months they didn't communicate, apparently. Or if they did, Mary did not include this grand news. And so we can understand Joseph's shock. And by the way, that proves the virgin birth. Joseph is shocked. And he wants to put her away. He wants to privately do so that she won't be embarrassed. Maybe he thought she was abused, or apparently he's thinking there that her innocency, something must have happened, and so he's not going to make a public example about it. The birth is given in Luke chapter 2. Now, Mary's in Nazareth, which is north. It's in Galilee. Let's just say Nazareth for ours is roughly in Tonawanda. And Bethlehem's way down here in Boston. Now how is... And Jesus is supposed to be born in Bethlehem. So how is Mary, who is expecting in her ninth month, she's living in Nazareth, how is she going to get to Bethlehem? Scripture has to be fulfilled. The book of Micah chapter 5 says that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. Well, the Bible tells us that it just so happened that Caesar Augustus, who was the king of the Roman Empire living in Rome, that he determined that all the Roman Empire should be rolled and rolled, not taxed like we know. There may have been some money involved, but the taxing is numbering. He wanted all people to go to their hometowns and be put on the roll. He wanted control of all people. It may have been a very proud thing of his, or just to keep organization in the Roman Empire. But was this a coincidence? Mary and Joseph were from the line of David. David was born in Bethlehem. And so where did Joseph and Mary have to go to be enrolled? They had to go to Bethlehem. What a wonderful coincidence. It's really the providence of God, isn't it? And so they went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, we're told in chapter 2, verse 4, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. The reason was because they are of the house and lineage of David. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. For whatever reason, they may have said, look, she's pregnant. She can't travel. Be merciful. There was no mercy, apparently. Everyone had to travel. And so God, in His wisdom, made sure that Mary traveled and did not have the baby until they arrived in Bethlehem. And it says, when the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, that she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Isn't it so sad? The King of Glory is born, and there's no room. Could they not have made room? He is born in a manger, or laid in a manger, which is saying he probably was born in a lean-to, or a stall, or a barn of some sort, or outdoor home or outdoor house. The Bible tells us there were shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Not one who will be a Savior. He's born a Savior. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe not wrapped in a king's gown, a king's robe, but wrapped in just clothing material that was found at hand. Swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. These were angels praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And then the shepherds go and tell all about what had come to pass. And we're not told that all that were told then rushed to that place. How sad. So busy, so bustling. The Messiah is born, and nobody seems to care. Well, we'll stop there, and I trust the Lord will bless this reading to our hearts today. I have felt the burden today to bring messages that seem to coincide together. the first message this morning, witnesses of Christmas, those who caught Christmas. This afternoon, those who missed Christmas. You know that Christmas, what is Christmas? The day that God was manifest in the flesh. Christ miss, Christ flesh. That's Christmas. Christmas is about Christ. He is the gift. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Christmas is when Christ was born. That was Christmas. And it occurred in Bethlehem. But it was for all the world and all who would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we mean when we sing, Hark the herald angels sing, and O come all ye faithful, and Noel, and angels we have heard on high. All these carols, all these hymns are about the Lord Jesus Christ. There were people that caught Christmas and still catch Christmas today. But there were people that missed it. And there are people that still miss Christmas today. They miss Christ. There's gifts and all kinds of tinsel and trees, but they miss Christ. You can't miss Christ. If you miss Christ, you lose out. You perish for all eternity. Christmas is contained in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's Lord in that He's God. He's Jesus in that He's man. He's Christ in that He's the God-man. He's the mediator between God and man. Deuteronomy 19:15 says, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. And I'd like us this morning to establish the matter that God became man, that Christmas took place, and that we bring forth two, three, or more witnesses of Christmas. We're living in a day when multiple voices even deny that Christmas ever took place, even that Jesus ever existed, let alone that He's the only two-natured being that will ever exist. He's both God and man. I want us to revisit Bethlehem and Nazareth and Jerusalem and beyond and bring forth the witnesses of Christmas. That we consider the witnesses of Christ's birth, that we might be comforted in our trials, that we might have faith in the atmosphere of unbelief and hope for eternity. That Christmas not only included His birth, but it included His life and also His eternal life. Witnesses of Christmas, the Christmas birth. Of course, we have to mention Joseph and Mary and Elizabeth. Really, at the end of the day, there's one human being that can stand forward and say, without any shadow of a doubt, that Christmas took place. And it's Mary herself. Now, yes, Joseph by faith, and Elizabeth by faith, but Mary by faith and by sight and by feeling can say that Jesus was born through me without a husband, without a father. He was born of a virgin. He was not born an illegitimate child. It was not by immorality. He was not born as a regular child by a father and mother. He was born of me, and the Holy Spirit put Him in my womb. It was God that put Jesus Christ in the womb of Mary. And she indeed is a witness. But three in particular were witnesses in that day. Joseph and Mary, because the angel appeared to Joseph and said, don't divorce her. Don't put her away. She is pregnant because the Holy Spirit has put the child in her. So Joseph, she has not been unfaithful. She has not been abused. She is pure. She is a virgin that will bring forth the child. The Bible tells us very carefully in verse 18 of Matthew 1, before they came together, before their joining, she was discovered as being pregnant. In other words, Joseph discovered her. It wasn't something that she must have conveyed for those 3 months, whatever mail system they had. If she had sent a letter to through a carrier on a camel or a mule, it didn't include this news. The Bible says he discovered it. How did he discover it? Well, apparently Mary must have been showing after 3 months. Not every woman shows very much after 3 months. But she must have shown. And he wanted to put her away. And, you know, you and I think, well, why didn't they communicate? Why didn't she say, Joseph, you know, we're not given all the information. But I'm sure that she tried to defend herself. Look, this is of God. But again, Joseph, aren't we all like Joseph? I'm from Illinois. I need to see it. I need to feel it. I need to know it. And God did show it to him. The Lord was merciful in a dream to convince Joseph that this was real, that this was not a result of immorality. He suspected her of infidelity, or at least of rape. Luke 1, Mary was at Elizabeth's home for those 3 months. And it was Elizabeth that was filled with the Holy Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit that said to Elizabeth, the fruit in Mary's womb is different from any. She has not yet come together with Joseph. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. So that's why I say Elizabeth knew it, even before Joseph did. They're witnesses of Christmas. Again, Mary, deep down, is the only one that could verify it with all of those means. And she said, I have not known a man. So they were the witnesses of Christmas birth. But the shepherds were. Isn't it interesting that the Lord didn't appear to people in Jerusalem, the capital city, the religious city? I don't think it's ironic, but the very ones who were selling the lambs, who would be the sacrifices picturing Christ, were the ones that God appeared to who would see Christ in that stall. The lowly shepherds that people despised. They didn't have regular communion with people. They stunk, you know, like they existed in the outdoors. They communed with their sheep. People didn't like to commune with shepherds. It wasn't just in Egypt that shepherds were an abomination. They were the offscouring. Oh, they're just our means of getting our sacrifices to perform our rituals. But God appeared to lowly shepherds. What a testimony. God appears to the lowly. God says the humble shall be exalted and the proud shall be abased. The angel appeared to the shepherds and said, there's good news, great joy. Today is born a Savior. Literally, today was born a Savior to you, Christ the Lord. How many lambs of theirs would be sold as types even for another 30 years? But yet here was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And then the shepherds were able to enjoy a choir of angels. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there as a multitude of heavenly hosts sang glory to God in the highest, peace, goodwill toward men. You see, sin brought God's ill will to men. But Christ brought God's goodwill toward men. You see, God is ill will toward sinners. There's no salvation for fallen angels. The Bible says God has prepared the lake of fire for angels who sinned. But since men sinned after angels and the lake was already prepared, God says that men who sin will go to the lake of fire unless they have a way of escape. And God provided that way of escape through Jesus Christ. So the shepherds were witnesses. The angels were witnesses. Heaven was not ignorant. God did not keep this from those in heaven. The angels knew that this took place. Can you imagine? As you were included, if you were an angel among the choir that would look down upon earth and looked down upon that humble abode. You see, the Lord was not giving his attention to the castles and all the dignitaries of that day, but upon a lowly city, and even upon a lean-to or a little barn or a stall. What was it? You know, we look at scenes, manger scenes of cows and so on, but most likely it was a place where the people's mules and camels were as they had come into Bethlehem to be enrolled. And so I suppose that along with the water trough, the manger that he was laid in, there may have been a mule or two or maybe a couple camels. And that's something. The ones who viewed were the brute beasts. But who were the real brute beasts of that day? Those who would reject Jesus Christ. The angels were witnesses. Glory to God in the highest. In excelsis Deo. May I say to you, the saints in heaven were witnesses. The Bible tells us angels departed into heaven did they depart with a hush? Did they have to be quiet when they went into heaven? Could not Adam know, or Abraham, or David, or Esther, or Ruth? You mean they had to wait 30 years before Jesus ascended into heaven, before they knew he existed? Certainly not. Wouldn't it have been a wonderful thing to be in heaven when the angels returned with the news that God has become man? Can you imagine the joy in Adam and Eve? The joy in Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Rebecca and Jacob and Rachel and Leah? We always leave out Leah, don't we? And the joy with David and Abigail and Solomon. The joy in their hearts. Daniel and the three Hebrews. Hosea, Joel, Amos. All of these saints. Esther and Ruth. And all the no-names. Heaven was rejoicing. This is what we've waited for. This is why we're here. This is the only reason we can be here. That the Messiah would be born. That God has become man, the greatest miracle that ever took place. They were witnesses, the multitude of saints in heaven, that Emmanuel's born. Simeon and Anna were told, and the priest who had to circumcise the Savior 8 days later. What? They were witnesses. Simeon picked up the baby in his hands. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Picked him up. How many people got to pick up the Lord as a babe? Here is the Messiah. Now let me die, Lord. I can die in peace knowing that my Messiah has been born. And Anna, of course, was there at the temple praising the Lord that it had taken place. What was it, 80 days that a woman who bore a child had to be in her purification? So he must have been 80 days old. When this took place, of course, he had to be circumcised at 8, but they came to the temple at 80 days. So it is that Simeon and Anna and the priest got to witness. And may I say, God is witness. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. It's the Spirit that put in the mind of Elizabeth that the mother of my Lord has come. She called him Lord. And the Lord Jesus was witness. I mean, here's the most sublime of all. Here he is, God and man, and yet he's God, and he's omnipresent. So somehow even the Son of God is looking down, if you will, upon God and man. He's not contained. His Godhood is not contained in that baby. He's everywhere. He's transcendent. And he could say, I have come down from heaven. And yet I'm in heaven. You look at John chapter 3. He says, he's the Son of God who came down from heaven and who is in heaven at the same time. Because he's God and he's man. And forever he's God and man. That is a tremendous miracle. God is witness of Christmas birth. May I say, Christmas extends into Christ's boyhood. because Christmas is God and man, and he wasn't just a babe. He grew up. You know, Adam was made a man, and Eve was made an adult. They weren't babies. Can you imagine how difficult it was for them to see children? And it was after the fall, so they didn't have little angels. We're all born in sin. And you say, well, here's my angel, but we have to admit our children aren't angels. When they get hungry and when they get ornery, like we all do, we recognize they're not angels. But the Lord Jesus Christ was sinless. So when he was hungry, he didn't scream and holler and turn red, as it were, with anger when he wanted something. His crying was meek and appropriate. He was witnessed as a babe, but he was also witnessed as a boy. You know that, don't you? When the Magi came, the wise men from the east, and we're told there had to be more than three. I don't think Herod would have been upset with just three, but let's just say there were three. Herod was a jealous man. Herod had one of his wives killed, his mother killed. He had his two eldest sons killed on his deathbed. He was a murderous, wicked man. And he was jealous. He feared another king, because he wanted the Romans on his side. He had convinced the Romans that he could be a king, and they had made him king of the Jews. And he had extended his kingdom as he was ruling. But the Magi came. And again, what a blessing. Here are men way east. Where did they get the gospel? You see, God says all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. When Daniel and the Hebrews were carried away because of their sin, God brought the gospel to the east. He brought prophecy to the east. He brought the message of Christ to the east. And apparently those wise men must have read Numbers, "The star of Jacob shall come." And they must have associated a miracle star with the Messiah of the Old Testament. And the Spirit no doubt intimated to them, follow this star. And so these men risked whatever they were. Were they kings? Says they were magi, wise men. They may have been kings. We're not told they are, although Psalm 72, kings shall bring presents. They were probably dignitaries at least. They left all behind and they said, we're going to follow the star. And it's got to lead. They thought at first to Jerusalem. They must not have read Micah, or at least it didn't occur to them that Bethlehem would be the birthplace. Of course, the Lord kept that a little foggy, or else Herod would have killed Christ. They followed that star. They thought they were going to find the baby in Jerusalem. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Certainly he's got to be born in the capital city of all religion, the Mecca of religion is here in Jerusalem. And what did they find? Like Martin Luther, when he went to Rome, he thought he was going to find a holy city, and he found corruption. He was so disappointed. For years he had hoped to reach the capital city of Rome and find holiness among the priests. And he found corruption, infidelity, wickedness. And here were the wise men. I'm going to find humble men. Men who are looking for the Messiah. Men who want to lead us to where he's born. And what did they find? Indifference. Ignorance. People who should have said, God has revealed to you that the Messiah is born. Let us go with you. The high priest and the priest should have said, this is what we're looking for. We've been waiting for years for the Messiah to be born. But they missed Christmas. Why'd they miss it? They were content with their rituals. They were content with their sacrifices. They'd rather have lambs and rams and bulls and goats and pigeons rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. They were fat. They were leaders. They were rich. They had popularity. What do they need the Messiah for? Sound current? Why do people who have religion need Christ? They're trusting in their works. They have peace with themselves. The Magi witnessed Christmas boy. The Jews in Bethlehem and Egypt and Nazareth. Isn't it amazing? Never a child cried like this child. Never a child played and ate and drank and studied and conversed. I mean, can you imagine? I know it's silent, but was there ever a child who acted and reacted like the Lord Jesus Christ? Perfectly. Perfectly. He ate and drank to the glory of God. He played with his playmates with unselfishness. Never did a playmate take something from Christ and Christ react unrighteously. Never did he strike a playmate for taking his toy. Oh, the Savior was perfect, absolutely sinless. Never did he scream and holler when he was hungry and thirsty. Never did he scream and holler for his way. The Lord was sinless. The witnesses of Christmas were his siblings. You know, there's a tacit confession of his power. They said to him in John 7, "No man that doeth these things that you do wants to keep it in secret." In other words, they saw that the Lord was humble, that he did all these great works, and yet he wasn't ostentatious. He wasn't proud. He didn't want to attract attention to himself. It was almost like they were, there's a confession being made, even though there's a provoking. There's a revelation of their jealousy and of their hatred, but there's a tacit confession there that this man was humble. He did great works, but he didn't want people to know about it. His brothers were confessing that they were witnesses of Christmas, the Christmas man. And his own cousin John, when it came time to baptize Jesus, said, "I have need to be baptized of you." Oh, we have many witnesses of Christmas. Never a man lived like Jesus Christ lived. The disciples and Mary and the servants at that first miracle of Christ at the wedding at Cana could say, "He is the Son of God. He turned the water into wine." Nathanael and the Samaritan woman could say, "Was there ever a man that knew us like this man?" Nathanael was sitting under a sycamore tree, and the Lord saw him, and the Lord wasn't there. And he told him, "I saw you when you were under the sycamore tree." The Samaritan woman was married to five men, and now she was on her sixth. And the Lord says, "You've had five husbands, and now the one that you have is not your husband." And she said, "You must be a great prophet." And the Lord revealed that He was the Messiah, the Son of God. And He saved that woman and no doubt said, "Go and sin no more." The disciples would say, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey Him?" His prophecies that Peter would deny Him three times and that Judas would betray Him. That He prophesied that He would be crucified. That He would rise from the dead after the third day. And shall you and I not count on the fulfillment of His second coming and the judgment in eternity when He has predicted and fulfilled the prophecies of His life and His death and His resurrection and ascension? We can count on His second coming. We can count on His judgment and His promises of eternal life. The Christmas death was witnessed. Did ever a man die like Jesus Christ died? Pilate even could say, "Art thou really a king?" And you expect a yes answer. Some say he was being sarcastic. Here's a man who's in shackles, as it were. He's got a crown of thorns that's stuck in his scalp. Dried blood on his face. From ripped off hair from his beard and just a linen cloth and with a mocked reed for a rod of iron, as it were. And he says, "Art thou a king?" But the answer is actually not to be no. It's, "You're a king, aren't you?" It's like Pilate is struggling. "You're a king, but yet look at you. How can I believe this?" And the Lord says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. Therefore, he that delivered me to thee has the greater sin. You're a sinner, Pilate. You have delivered me over. But the high priests are greater sinners for delivering me to thee." And that man feared. He, in his heart of hearts, understood this man is different. This man has got to be different. And his old wife said, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered many things in a dream because of him." And then even Pilate, poor Pilate, when the Lord says, "He that is of me believes the truth." And Pilate said, "What is truth?" Oh, that I wish that Pilate would have waited for the answer. Friend, are you waiting for the answer? What's the truth in this world of lies and fables and myths? Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to know how to get to heaven, you've got to follow Christ. He is the way. Christ is the way to have your sins forgiven in the hope of heaven. The torturers, did anyone ever suffer like Jesus Christ? Oh, the poise and the control. Even Malchus, when they came to arrest Christ, Peter, trying to kill Malchus, struck his ear off. And the Lord Jesus picked up the servant's ear and did an operation without a scalpel and without stitches and put his ear back on the side of his head. Here he was being arrested and he cared for people. Even the thief on the cross who had derided Christ would say, "Lord," yes, he looked at a mangled man, just like the Bible speaks about the sacrifices had to be flayed and cut in pieces. And he looked over and he saw a man flayed and cut in pieces, as it were, nailed to a tree like he was. And yet he said, "Lord." He knew he was Christ. There was Christmas. Dying. And the centurion, after Jesus died, the man who had led those soldiers to torture Christ like they did, who stood by and enjoyed it, as it were, said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." He was a witness, and others with him. Witnesses of the Christmas resurrection. They were selected. You know, God allowed lost people to witness Jesus' life, to witness the Christmas life and the Christmas death. But you know what's absent, conspicuously absent in the resurrected Christ? He did not allow any unsaved person to witness His resurrection or His resurrection appearances. Selected witnesses. They all saw Him in different places, that here is Christ alive from the dead. But one day, lost and saved people shall witness the Christ at the judgment. Mary Magdalene was the first to see Him raised from the dead. And Thomas, who was the doubter, was convinced when he said, "My Lord and my God." But all shall be convinced one day that Christmas really took place. That God became man. And He ascended to heaven. And witnesses finally of the Christmas existence. Stephen saw the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And he said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Stephen saw Christ in heaven. Paul, before he got saved, heard, "I am Jesus from heaven." And he said, "I received from the Lord that which I delivered unto you," when he spoke of the Lord's table. And you and I, if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, are witnesses of Christmas. We're witnesses of Christmas when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you know that in faith in our hearts we can be witnesses that there is a God-man? For He's the only one that can save us. We're believing on Him, not just a history of Him. We're believing on Him. He is our God, our King, our priest, and our prophet. It's unto us that Christ was born, the Savior. But unto us, the child was born. Unto us, the Son was given. It's no myth that Jesus Christ was born. It's no myth that God became man. It's Christ that knows when we're sleeping. It's Christ that knows that when we're awake. It's Christ that knows if we've been bad or good. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who's all-knowing. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Because He's God-man. He was born. He lived. He died. He rose from the dead. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God. And He's coming again. In power and great glory to judge the world in righteousness. Witnesses of Christmas. Are you a witness? Or are you a denier? Will Christmas bypass you this day? All the tinsel and the bells and the gifts and the trees and the clowns, all these things that take place at Christmas, will it drown out the real message of Jesus Christ? I hope not. I hope you'll be a witness today that Jesus Christ is real, that He came into the world to save sinners. If you believe on Him, He'll answer you. He'll give you eternal life. If you ask Him to forgive your sins and to give you eternal life, He's here. Though His body's in heaven, He is God. He's here today. And the Lord Jesus says, all who come unto Him, He will in no way cast out. Know that you're a sinner, that you've broken God's laws, but that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, came to die for your sins. That you can call upon Him because He's alive and He'll hear you and answer your prayers and save your soul. And you can today become a witness that Christmas is true, that God became a man, that Christ is God manifest in the flesh. And that you'll now no longer be among those who missed Christmas. For years I missed it. I missed it. The Lord opened my eyes to be a witness that God Son became a man to live and die for me. He's my Savior for 30 years. I hope if you're not saved that today will be your spiritual birth, that you'll be converted to Christ and be born again of the Spirit of God. Please don't miss Christmas this year. Even as Christians, we can miss it. We can miss it. It's nice to be with relatives and friends and to open and exchange gifts. But do we remember Christ in all of this? In all of the materialism and all of the parties and all of the food and gifts and atmosphere? Do we honor Christ? May it be so. He's all together lovely. He's worthy of our praise.